I'd like you to turn with me, please, to the Old Testament, to the book of the Psalms, Psalm 119. If we could lift a verse from this passage. Psalm 119 and verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now we're going to go into the New Testament, to the little epistle to the Galatians, Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." And our final reference is going to be in John's Gospel and chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse number 10. And speaking about the Lord Jesus, it says, "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power," or the privilege, the right, "to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Now, very simply, in the closing part of the meeting tonight, I want to center my remarks around these three passages that we have read together, that I believe refer to, number one, the Word of God. Number two, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we have got a reference to the Son of God. And finally, in the last place, I believe we have a clear description of what constitutes a child of God. I would like to remind our audience tonight that our only authority, our only appeal tonight, our only recourse is the Word of God. This is a very unique volume. It is something that is marked by 66 books. There are some over 40 different authors from different continents that lived in different time frames that wrote about a common theme. And amazingly enough, despite arguments to the contrary, these persons were actually able to write in such a way that there was not any contradiction in the Bible. I know that many people sometimes will contest the authenticity of the Scripture, and they will dismiss it out of hand as not having any particular relevance or bearing upon the questions relative to the truth and spiritual matters and questions of destiny and questions of eternity, because they will say that it is full of contradictions. Now, while there might be things in the Bible that are difficult to understand, and there might even be situations where you will run across passages that might appear to contradict at first glance, let me remind you that the contradiction is only in your mind. It is not in the Word of God. It is in your measure or the way in which you are understanding the particular passage under question, so that upon further investigation, to the one who is open-minded and honest and fair in their understanding and interpretation of the Word of God, one of the things that each of us admire about the Word of God is that it is something that can stand up to the test of a very thorough and a very detailed, a microscopic investigation. It is something that stands the test of scrutiny. It's something that is marked by an integrity. It is marked by an internal harmony, so that interwoven all throughout it are our truths, our themes, our doctrines and teachings that do not conflict, but actually complement, that actually supplement, that form one harmonious whole to remind us and to reflect to us that above the secretarial operation, if you like, of the authors of this book, of this multi-book volume, if you like, is actually the stamp, unmistakable and undeniable, of God himself, so that the author of this blessed book is none other than God himself. I would like to then tell you that tonight we have before us a tremendous privilege of holding within our hands and of actually being able to be open to take into our hearts and minds and lives something which is information that derives from one who is the highest authority in the universe. This is the Word of God. It is the Word of the living God. The Lord Jesus could say, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall never pass away. Can I remind you tonight that the Word of God is not only something that is open in time for you to look at, but I understand from the Scriptures, according to John chapter 12, it identifies for me that at the great white throne of judgment, pictured to my left on the chart, that the books that will be open there among them is going to be none other than the Word of God from which we are privileged to present to you the Gospel tonight. Hence, the need for carefulness when it comes to the Scriptures. I would like to say to you this tonight, that I don't believe you would treat something very profound and complex, that you would not dismiss it as being something of no validity, just dismiss it out of hand, after a simple, cursory investigation of it. Yet, to my amazement, I have met people, and you know what they have said to me? They have said to me, I don't believe the Bible. I read it once. Wow. Well, I come from a farming background, and I remember one time we went through a John Deere factory down in Waterloo, Iowa, and we watched how they made John Deere tractors. Could you imagine if you had met me after I walked out of that factory that day, and I said to you, John Deere tractors, piece of junk. I know. I just took it to another plant. You just look at me and you say, whoa, this boy don't think real deep. So actually, sometimes, you know what's the problem? It's not the question of whether they read it through once. It's not the illogical lack of common sense that's involved when a person dismisses such a treasury of truth just out of hand. What's involved is this. The person doesn't want to think deep. The person does not want to find out the truth. The person is not really interested. That's the point. So I want to tell you tonight that what you need is a compass. And that's why I've read this verse tonight. Psalm 119, verse number 105 tells me that the Word of God is like a lamp. The Word of God, it says, is a lamp unto my feet, and it is a light unto my path. Right now, every one of us in this meeting is actually traveling either upon a broad road that is downward, that is inclined towards a place called hell, and ultimately the lake of fire, according to the words of the Lord Jesus, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, in what is commonly known as the Sermon on the Mount, he pointed out for us that there is actually two roads. And he prefaced his remarks by this word, enter. It's put here on the chart under the term come. It's an invitation. In Matthew 7, it was an instruction. He says, enter ye in at the straight gate, because he says, wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because he says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We want to tell you tonight that the Word of God is a lamp. It's a lamp unto your feet, and it's a light unto your path. Now, if you are carrying a lamp, what you would understand is this. If you are walking in the midst of the darkness of night, and you're holding that lamp in your hand, you would obviously know two things as a result of the brilliance of that light as it illuminates that little sphere around you in the midst of that darkness. You would know two things. You would know, number one, where your feet are right now. Just one glance down under the glare of that lamp, you would know where your feet are right now. And number two, in a limited way, but ahead of you, you would also see the path that you're traveling on. The Word of God tonight, if read carefully and honestly, will expose to your discovery, to your understanding, two things. Number one, where you are right now. And number two, where you're going to for eternity. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet
and it is a light unto my path. So friend, tonight, right now, you are traveling either on this narrow road to heaven, or you are presently on this broad road with the crowd, with the majority, going with the flow. A little concerned, perhaps, with little thought about all the time you are being carried inexorably forward and onward and downward towards an abyss of a tragedy that is absolutely beyond compare. Now, I don't know what sad things you've had happen in your life. I don't know what bad things have come across your path. But I'm here tonight to try to warn you kindly from the Word of God that there is something that looms on the horizon of your future. And it is no picnic. It is not going to be pleasant. It is going to be hell and the lake of fire. Now, I know that's not the status quo, and I know that that's not patronizing. I know that that's not the popular thing to talk about, but I want to tell you that that's in the Word of God. But you know, the Scriptures don't just make blind and blanket statements like that for nothing. What's really involved is this, is the Word of God not only illuminates where you are, but it also tells you what you are. You know what the Word of God says about us? Well, it says some things that I guess if I met you on the road and said it to you, you'd let me think I was insulting you. So don't take any offense, because the Bible that says this is what you are happens to say the same thing about me. So I'm not calling you names. But the Bible does call all of us certain things. You know what the Scriptures do? The Scriptures reveal what is in the dark. They reveal sin. Hey, you ever sinned before in your life? You ever done anything wrong? I've even had people, and they're otherwise intelligent, but in their effort to avoid this issue, you know what they've actually said to me? They have said to me that they never sinned in their life. You know what I always do with those kind of people? I say, I'd like to have your autograph, and if you wait, I'm going to go and get my camera, because I would really like to take your picture. You know why? Because they're pretty remarkable if they've never sinned. Of course, they're only fooling themselves. I'm always amazed. Either I look really either dumb and naive, or they're not really in touch with reality. You know what the Bible says? It says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, well, what's sin? I remember a man who was a university professor from Quebec, and that's what he said to me. He says, oh, okay, kind of got philosophical. He said, what's sin? You know, he says, you know, something that's sin to me, you know, that might not be sin to you, and something that's sin to you might not be sin to me. So, really, we shouldn't even talk about sin, because it's so subjective, it all depends. Well, really, what I told that man is the problem is not whether it's sin to me or whether it's sin to you. Sin is sin if it's sin to God. You gotta get connected to the right point of reference. So God. And if that's too abstract and if that's too vague for you, Then let me tell you something that does define it for us. That's why he wrote us the book. That's why he sent us this letter. That's why he sent us this manual, if you like. To tell us what's gone wrong when the car of life is broken down. You check the manual. Or sometimes when you buy that thing and you bring it home from the store, and you think you're smart, and you're quite mechanical, and you're handy, and you're gonna work on trying to put it all together, and halfway through when the wife isn't looking, you sneak out and grab the instructions to figure out how do you put this crazy thing together. You ever wondered that about the puzzle of your life? Is there somebody here tonight, and up until now, you've been trying to put the puzzle together, and you can't figure out how it goes together? Let me tell you one of the reasons why it's not going together is because you haven't got all of the pieces. I want to tell you that the missing piece in the puzzle of your life is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you need tonight. And I want to tell you, just let me clarify this. This book is not a volume, a collection of a bunch of dry, dusty old doctrines and data and stuff that's just going to wither you. But although to balance that off, I'd have to say that I have sometimes, and thank God I haven't had it too often, but I have sometimes had the painful experience of sitting in an audience like this, listening to someone speaking. And boy, if you didn't think the Bible was boring before they got up and spoke, you sure would have afterwards, because they were so boring. They were just as dry as dust. And I would walk out of there thinking, man, I can't understand how people can go and listen to him 52 Sundays out of a year. No wonder people are walking away from churches and this kind of thing. But listen, friend, tonight, I want to tell you that the Word of God is nothing dry and dead and irrelevant. I want to tell you the Word of God is alive. The Word of God is quick or living and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And one of the reasons why it has a living reality to it is because God has created us in the image of God. We have been created, as we put it, body, soul, and spirit. The Bible actually puts it the right way around and says it's spirit, soul, and body. Your first dimension that you need to get looked after is your spiritual one. The fact that you have a Godward side, that you have been created by God, and you have been created for God, that you are not the ultimate be-all and end-all of your experience and existence in this world. You were created more than for the little rat race and the little routine or the little successes and achievements that are upon your horizon, that fill your vision, that are your goals in life, friend, tonight. You have been created for God. And let me tell you tonight something else. That your life, that you really haven't begun to live until you've come to know God. And the only way you can come to know God is become a person who has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Shall I remind you what the Lord Jesus said, actually? In Matthew's Gospel in chapter 4, he said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You know what that means? You're more than physical. You're more than flesh and bones and blood. You're more than something animate and material. You are actually a personality. You are actually a spiritual creation of God. And you cannot fully live and fully experience all God's intention for you. The Bible is a closed book in your life. I remember an old preacher from PEI that has passed away, but I remember the way he used to say it. He used to preach this little rhyme. He says, two things God has wedded which never shall part. Dust in the Bible and dearth in your heart. And friend, tonight, there is nothing out there that will ever satisfy you. There is nothing that will properly fit and fill that void in your heart and life until you have come to know Christ as your Savior. The Bible is a living book. I know it's a living book. I remember one time there was a gospel tent and some meetings that were going on. And there was a man that just got out of penitentiary in Kingston. And he came back to Sarnia where I live, and he called up his girlfriend, and it's been a while since he had seen her, and he called her up and asked her out. And so she said, no, I don't think that I want you to take me out. But she says, I'll tell you what, would it be all right if I took you out? Same deal. He said, sure. All right, so I'll take you out. She said, I'm not going to tell you where I'm going. I don't care. She said, yeah. So away they went. You know where she brought him? To a gospel meeting, just like this. Never been in a gospel meeting like this in his life. Walks, apprehensive. I thought, boy, wow. Took a look at his girlfriend and wonder what in the world was wrong with her head. Actually, what had happened is, while he was in the pen, she had gotten saved. So now she was interested in him hearing this message. Well, he's talking to me, he handled it, so in they walks at the meeting. And he's looking around at all these weird people with Bibles, everything else. And he's wondering, wow. But he soon got beyond all that when the man got up to preach. And the longer that the man preached, the more angry he got. And he was only too glad when that meeting was over and he could get out of there. The man that was preaching had never met him. Didn't know his name. Didn't know him from Adam. You know what he's preaching on? Sin. According to the Bible. That's the dictionary for sin. That's the point of reference. And he was ripping mad with his girlfriend. He says, look, don't you ever do that to me again. She says, what? He says, one thing for you to take me to this church, this tent meeting. He says, but you've got your nerve. He says, telling that man everything about me before. He says, if that wasn't a setup, I don't know what is. She had a hard time, but she actually finally succeeded in convincing that man that she hadn't set anything up. She hadn't told a single word to the preacher. And would it surprise you to tell me that the next night he came back? And kept coming back? And one morning, at 4 o'clock in the morning, on his knees, in a room, by himself in his house, that toughened, hardened ex-convict, you know what he came to know? The Lord Jesus Christ is his Savior. And then it was our turn to be shocked, because we had a little prayer meeting in the basement of the home where there was this gospel tent. And you know what he did? I don't know how he found out, but he was down there in the prayer meeting the day after he got saved. And he didn't wait around for anybody else. He started to pray. He didn't know how to pray. You know, you don't have to know how to pray. There's no special technique for praying. You know what he started to do? He started to talk to the person that had all of a sudden become his father. And you know what he was simply doing? In his own simple, honest way, he was thanking God for giving the Lord Jesus to save him from going to hell. Wasn't long-winded. Wasn't fanciful or flowery. But it was genuine. And in case you look with a jaundiced eye on that kind of a thing and say, oh yeah, there's a lot of guys do that. No. This man was for real. He's married today with a lovely family and every evidence of God's salvation having come to pass for real in his life. You say, well, I'm not an ex-convict, so I don't think I need that. He needed it. I don't. Look at. You might not be an ex-convict. And thank God if you're not. But let me tell you this. As far as God is concerned, we're all criminals because we've all broken God's law. We're lawbreakers. And as such, we're condemned. And that's why in Galatians chapter 2, it tells me that it's a frustration to the grace of God. That it flies in the face of all that God's intentions are towards us. For someone like myself or yourself, having broken God's law to try to attempt to do penance, to try to make up for it, to try to do some kind of payment, to try to make some kind of a series of confessions. Friends, we want to tell you, a day saved is not in the way that you will go about trying to repent of your sin or trying to renounce and denounce the things that you have perhaps pursued or practiced in the past, the shame of which has finally gotten the best of you, and you want to drop it and drive it all aside. We want to tell you tonight that God's salvation is found when an individual comes to discover that the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. You know what a real true Christian is? It has nothing to do with religion. It has everything to do with relationship. A person that is truly a Christian is a person that has trusted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. And maybe that doesn't even explain it for you properly. And I guess that's where I feel a little frustrated, because it's like trying to describe the beauties of a sunset to a blind person. How can I fully tell you tonight the wonder of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? You know something? You'll never fully understand what it means to be a true Christian until you experience becoming one. And that's why I read in John chapter 1 what is involved in becoming a Christian. You know what will be the toughest thing in your... I hope every single person, if you're not here, if you're not saved, if you are not a Christian at this point, I hope that before you end your days in this world, that you will become a Christian. In fact, I'm hoping that even tonight you'll trust the Savior. But I will tell you this, that generally speaking, most people have a problem when it comes to becoming a Christian. You know why? Because they like to think they already are one.
You will never get inside of this door until you face that you're on this side of the door. If you have never received Christ as your Savior, I don't care how many admirable things you've done in your life, according to the Word of God, you are not tonight a person who has got one foot in the door and you just need a little extra shove, a little extra improvement. God's salvation tonight, friend, is not something in addition to what you have got, but it is actually something that is instead of what you have got. According to the Word of God, all that you have got in your life is something that marks you out as a person on this road, destined for this destination. And the Bible teaches that when a person receives Christ, they become a child of God. My time is gone. I trust tonight that you will face these things fairly and squarely and honestly, that you will allow this message to resonate within your mind and heart, and that you will understand that there is something tonight, a whole dimension to life that you have been completely missing out on. And there is a God tonight that loves you. There is a Savior that has died at the cross to make heaven, to put heaven within your reach, and to bless you with the genuine thing of God's eternal salvation. Receive Christ tonight, and in that moment you will become a child of God with a life that will not only bless you in time, but will fit you for God's heaven and God's home for all eternity. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee for the Word of God, for this compass by which we can chart not only our paths through life, but also that we can chart our path and our direction for that heavenly harbor. And we pray that Thou wilt bless everyone that has listened to the Word of God tonight. Thou knowest the heart, Thou knowest the mind, Thou knowest the thoughts, the opinions, the beliefs, and all of the ideas. Thou knowest everything about every single one of us. Everything is naked and opened onto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Thou art the searcher of all hearts. Thou dost weigh every word and every motive, and we are completely transparent before God. We ask, Lord, that tonight there might be someone who will be anxious to know Christ as Savior, to know something that is genuine and real in a world where everything is so much marked by falsehood and dishonesty. And we ask that there might be someone who, by Thy word, through the gracious Spirit of God, will be led to the person of the Savior to trust in Him once and forever. We just commend us to Thee now as we part, and thank Thee again for the Lord Jesus Christ in His worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, we thank you very much for coming to the meeting tonight, and welcome you not only to this meeting, but also remind you of the meetings which are continuing every night except for Saturday at the same hour, preceded and followed by a prayer meeting downstairs for those that can pray with us. And I would also like to make this comment that we are approachable, that if you have any questions or comments or concerns, if you have confusion about this in any way, we can't pretend to know everything, obviously, but one of the things that we would love to be able to do is to point you to the Word of God and point you to the Lord Jesus Christ, and so feel free to ask anything you want. We are your servants for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number 3, and we'll sing the last 2 verses only of number 3. The time is gone. I apologize for going over the time tonight, but thank you for your patience and for your attention. And please come back again as the Lord enables you.